Today, on The Journey.
You don't know exactly where you're going, but God's saying, trust me. I brought you out of the darkness. I'm going to take you to heaven. Now, if I can take you out of the darkness and deliver you to heaven, you got to trust me with the journey along the way.
Abraham walked out of Ur of the Chaldeans and into history with only his faith and family. But his faith in God was all he needed. In this half hour, Ron Moore takes us on Abraham's faith journey and into the promises of God. It's a faith you can share and in it discover your greatest needs met as well. Also, after the message, I'll let you know about Ron's challenging publication called Faith, Dead or Alive. It offers a vital examination of genuine faith. Faith, Dead or Alive is available as a digital download for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a message titled, The Call of Abraham on the Journey.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. We come today to a pivotal chapter in the book. We're going to see what happens in the life of a man first named Abram, and then later on, God's going to change his name to Abraham. From Abraham's story, we're going to learn what faithful obedience looks like. There are going to be five things we see in Abraham's journey that we can apply to our lives today. So look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. So in verse 4, Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now it's interesting, as we first look at that, our minds would just assume that Abram was called in Haran, and he left Haran then to go to the land that God promised down into Canaan. We'll talk about that in a second. But we now have the whole counsel of Scripture. And the best commentary on the Bible is what? The Bible. And so now we know through Acts chapter 7, as Stephen is giving his discourse before he's stoned, and he goes through the Jewish history. And let me read this, Acts chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. And he said to him, go out from your land and from your kindred and go to the land that I will show you. And then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and he lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from there into the land into which you are now living. He's speaking to the Israelites. Yet he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot's length, but promised to give it to him as a possession and to his offspring after him, though he had no child. So a lot packed into that part of Stephen's speech. But here's what Stephen is saying. Abraham is in the land of Ur, present-day Iraq. At the end of chapter 11, Terah took his family down to the land of Ur, the Ur of the Chaldeans, and they settled there. So the call of God first comes on Abraham's life when he is in Ur. Then they go up from Ur to Haran, and they live there for a while. We don't know how long they lived. It says they settled there. And then Terah, Abraham's father, dies. He's 205 years old. When he dies, then God uses that time of Abraham's life to say, okay, now it's time to go down to this promised land. At this point, it is occupied by the Canaanites. And Abraham's going to live in different areas in the land of Canaan. And then a famine's going to hit, and he's going to move down to Egypt. So Abraham gets this call from God while he is in Ur. That's the first thing we see about faithful obedience. It always begins with the call of God. We don't wake up one day and say, here's where I'm going to go after God. Here's what I'm going to do for God. God puts this call on our life. And it's important for us to think about Abraham being in Ur because Ur was a pagan place. And it is likely that Abraham was a pagan at this time. It wasn't that God looked at Abraham and said, oh, there's a great godly man. He called him not only from the land of Ur, but he called him to himself. This is when Abraham trusts in God. This is when his faith journey begins. We'll see that later on in chapter 15 and 14, and we'll see it in the New Testament as well. We see in Hebrews, by faith, Abraham left Ur and started following God. The life of faithful obedience always starts with the call of God. Think back just for a moment. When did God put that call on your life? That's where faith journey begins. But God doesn't always tell us where he's taking us, does he? Look again at verse 1. God said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. I love that. You know, you got to be thinking Abraham was saying, give me a hint. Let me know where I'm going. God says, no, can you trust me? Some of you are on that journey, aren't you? God's doing some things in your life, but you don't know exactly where you're going. And you're in some uncomfortable territory. But God's saying, trust me. I brought you out of the darkness. You trusted me for that. I'm going to take you to heaven. You can trust me for that. Now, if I can take you out of the darkness and deliver you to heaven, you got to trust me with the journey along the way. That's not always easy, is it? But in this story, we see that's where it starts. It's the call. God says, I'm going to take you to a great place, but I'm not going to tell you always where it's going to be. Look at chapter 12, verse 2. Here we have the outline of the Abrahamic covenant. God's going to make it formal in chapter 15. But here's the outline of it. God said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. Now, there was a problem with this because Abraham and his wife Sarah couldn't have children at this point. But God said, I'm going to make you a great nation. That's my promise to you. And I'm going to make your name great. Remember the people in the Tower of Babel? They wanted to make a name for themselves. When God calls us, he says, if I want your name to be great, I'll make it great. You depend on me. Then, going to do that so that, here's the reason, you're going to be a blessing. That's the statement. Abraham, you will be a blessing. So the promises, great nation, I'm going to bless you personally. I'm going to make your name great. And then you're going to be a blessing. And then here are three statements after that in chapter 12, verse 3. I'm going to bless those who bless you. Those who dishonor you, I will curse. And in you, Abraham, in your seed, in your descendants, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's quite a promise, isn't it? And there are a couple of things there. This is going to be the nation of Israel. That's why we always want to be a friend of Israel. God says, you're going to bless those who bless you. Then in that statement, all the families of the earth will be blessed because of the person who comes through the nation of Israel, and his name is Jesus Christ. And through him, the world will be blessed. Abraham, through your seed, through your descendants, through your lineage, all those in the world will be blessed. It's a great promise. Now, God didn't give us the Abrahamic covenant, but when he called us to himself, he entered into a covenant relationship with us. And he told us, you're going to be a blessing to other people, every one of you. In fact, it says in Matthew chapter 5, you're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. And when you have this light, you don't put it under a bushel. People are going to see me working through you. People are going to see your good works, and I'm going to get the glory for it. Here's the second thing we see in this passage. God calls Abraham, and Abraham obeys. Look at verse 4. So he leaves Ur, he goes up to Haran, he stays there until his father dies, and then verse 4, Abraham went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed Haran. We don't know how long he stayed there, so don't know how old he was when he left Ur. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all the possessions that they had gathered and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. And when they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Now, what is the land of Canaan? What's it going to be? It's going to be Israel, right? It's the promised land. So God is taking Abraham into the promised land. As Stephen tells us, he doesn't let him settle there yet, but he allows this great patriarch to go into the land of Canaan. Abraham obeys the call. He was settled in Ur, and he takes off and goes to Haran. He's settled in Haran, and he takes off and he goes to Canaan. Now, just think about that for a second. Abraham was not a young man. We know that he was 75 when he left Haran, so he could have said, oh my goodness, Lord, I'm going to slow down a little bit. I'm by the Persian Gulf, and I'm just going to go down there and put my feet in the water and sit on the dock of the bay and watch the tide roll away, waste some time. That's a great song. Age is never an excuse, is it? Can't be too young or too old when God calls you. The things God was promising him, they were impossible. I'm going to make you a great nation, but God, we don't even have one baby. Okay. Can you trust me? They'll struggle with that for a while. We'll see that. Abraham got settled in Haran, has all these possessions. Terah dies. God said, time to go again. And there's another thing about this land that God takes him to. Look at the end of verse 6. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Remember the Canaanites, Ham's descendants, never got along with Israel. The enemy's in the land. You want me to go down there? Yep, that's where I want you to go. What excuse are you using not to do what God's calling you to do? Only you know that. And only you know the excuses that you're using. But when God calls us to do something, we got to lose the excuses or we're going to miss out on some tremendous things that he has for us. You're not going to lose your salvation. You just get to lose a lot of blessings. Third thing, life of faithful obedience acknowledges the person of God. Look at verses 7 and 8. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give you this land. And so Abraham built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. But the Canaanites are here, Lord. No, just hang on. I'm going to give you this land to your offspring. But I don't have any offspring, Lord. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of that. Give me some time. So he built an altar to the Lord. What does that demonstrate about Abraham? He was trusting God, even when it didn't make sense. He builds this altar. And then verse 8, from there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. By the way, there were a lot of altars in the land of the Canaanites. But Abraham, he wasn't going to use used altars. So he builds his own altar. There he makes sacrifices. There he calls on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord represents God's person. So he is calling on God's attributes. God, you are all powerful. So I am trusting you with this. I am honoring you with this. God, You are omniscient. I don't know exactly what you're going to do, but you do. God, your presence is with me all the time. Even when you tell me to go to these different places, I'm never alone. I never have to go by myself. God, you are all powerful. I don't know how you're going to take my offspring and make a great nation out of me. I don't know how you're going to give this land to me. The Canaanites are there. But I trust you in that. I don't know where you're taking me, but I trust you. I'm going to call on your name of forgiveness. I'm going to call on your name of mercy. I'm calling your name of grace. I place my life in your hands. Abraham continues to worship wherever he goes. He wants you to worship him all the time, not just on a Sunday morning. Worship is worshiping God with all of our lives. Worship is honoring God even when we don't understand where he's taking us. Number four, faithful obedience never stops. Look at verse 9. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. I'm not going to take the time to go through this one, but just read through that passage and you get verbs like he went, he kept going, he passed through, he moved on from there, he set out. You see, this life of faith doesn't settle. And every time Abraham gets settled, God said, okay, time to go. We did a study here a few years ago called the Reveal Study, and about 250,000 believers were surveyed in the study. And they came up with these three areas where people are. They're either growing in Christ, that's kind of the beginning, they're close to Christ, or they're Christ-centered. But in their research, they also found that anywhere you might be in one of these areas, that 92% of those surveyed reported having experienced being stalled at some point in their Christian journey. Does anyone relate to that? That's a dangerous place to be, isn't it? So you got to get in the Word. Got to read the Word on a daily basis. You can't get unstalled without God's Word, period, the end. You got to be a worshiper, not just on a Sunday morning, but every day of your life, honoring God. You got to be connected with other believers. Can't do this thing alone. You're going to be stalled if you try to do it alone. You need to be using your gifts. God's given you these gifts, and a lot of people don't use them. Well, guess what? You're going to be stalled. And you got to be telling others about Jesus, sharing the message of Christ. We got the greatest message in all the world, and would rather talk about politics. We got the greatest message in all the world, and I'd rather talk about sports. We got to share the message of Christ. We can't be those who are stalled. A life of faithful obedience is on the move. God has something for us to do. So Abraham's chosen by God. He obeys the call. He's worshiping God. He's on the move, but he is far from perfect. And when we look at the last verses of chapter 12, some interesting things happen. So he's moving around in the Canaan area, and there's a famine. So he goes down to Egypt. Even when it didn't rain in that area, Egypt had the Nile River and some other ways to irrigate their land, so they usually had crops going on. But remember the story? His wife, Sarai, is beautiful. And he says, when I go into the land of the Egyptians, I know about those guys. They're going to take her for one of their own, and they're going to kill me. So here's a guy who has this great trust. Boy, it's amazing, isn't it? A life of faith. One day, you can be following God all out, and the next day, you're kind of cowering over in a corner saying, yeah, God, I don't know if this is going to work. So Abraham tells his wife, just tell them you're my sister. And they won't kill me. And so they go in and the word gets out. That's his sister. The Egyptian says, she is beautiful. And they take her. Powerful rulers took any woman they wanted. And so she is now in Pharaoh's group. And Pharaoh gives Abraham a lot of stuff. Look at verse 16. And for her sake, he, the Pharaoh, dealt well with Abram. And he had sheep and oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. So he gets blessed. Now, first you got to think, time out. Abraham's lying being deceitful and God's blessing him. Does God do that? Okay, just hang on to that for a second, okay? Finally, verse 17, the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, "Why have you done this to me? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife?" And so they take Abram and Lot and Sarai and all their possessions, and they take them to the border and they say, "Get out of here." They get to go. In one sense, God overruled Abraham's decision and uses the Egyptians' resources to make Abraham a wealthy person. But sin always has consequences, doesn't it? Money does some crazy stuff with families. And so now with all these possessions as they leave, in the chapters coming up, we're going to see that Lot, his nephew, his herdsman, and Abraham's herdsman, they have all this tension together because they have so much stuff, they can't even do their herds in the same pastures. So it splits Lot from Abraham, and we're going to see that was not a good situation from Lot. Remember, he pitched his tents near where? Sodom. Also, we see in that when he is in Egypt, he gets all these servants. One of those servants is an Egyptian who becomes Sarai's handmaid named Hagar. And it's Hagar who Sarai says, "I don't think God's going to bless me with a child. So Abraham, you take Hagar and you have a child by her." And she has a child named Ishmael. And Ishmael becomes the prophet and the ancestor of Muhammad, who is the father of Islam. You see, what appears to be a great blessing with all this stuff, sin still has consequences. But here's what I want us to see through this last one. A life of obedient faith forges on through failure. Abraham blew it. He lied. He put Sarai at risk. She's part of the covenant. The nation's going to come through her. And he puts her at risk. He puts God's covenant at risk. But God still uses him in a powerful way. And there may be some of you here today, you were following God and you were doing some great things, and then you fell, and you fell hard. I just want you to know God still will and wants to use you. God pushes us and forges us through failure. Can God use a broken person? Absolutely. If he doesn't, he has no person on his team. He uses broken people. He uses us even in our failure. Failure is only fatal if you allow it to be. But God has great things for you. Don't be stalled in your failure.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. How do you know when your faith, or that of a friend or loved one, is a living faith? Is it proved by a walk down a church aisle, praying a salvation prayer, or attending catechism classes? Or is there other evidence that must be displayed? That question is asked and answered in Ron Moore's PDF booklet titled, Faith, Dead or Alive. In Faith, Dead or Alive, Ron outlines the characteristics of genuine belief and how you can perceive their presence animating your life. It's the most important waypoint on the spiritual journey. Faith, Dead or Alive, is yours as a digital download for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
Sometimes God will ask us to do some radical things that may not seem natural to us. And the question is, will we obey?
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember to order your copy of Ron Moore's PDF booklet, Faith, Dead or Alive. It's a vital checkup on your spiritual health. Faith, Dead or Alive is available for a donation of any amount. You can get it online at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.